Good morning, everyone.
It's good to see you all. And
we have a lot to be grateful for. God has been very gracious to us. And so, on another Lord's Day morning, it's a joy to be in His presence, gathered around His Word, to hear what He would say to us. So my prayer is that we all have listening ears and receptive hearts for the word of the Lord. Some of you already know what I'm going to speak about because I got that information from the Sunday school superintendent 3 or 4 weeks ago. When you come, this is the lesson for the day. And it is about a dear lady, a wonderful lady, a great lady of whom we read in the book of Judges, chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, let us turn to that passage, please. Judges, chapter 4. Actually, the lesson takes in both chapters 4 and 5. But we're only going to read a few verses, beginning at verse 1, chapter 4. And I'd like to ask you to make me a promise. You don't know what the request is up to this point in time, but make me a promise just the same, that as soon as you have opportunity, you will read Judges chapters 4 and 5 in its entirety. You're promised to do that? Well, I didn't hear any yeses, but I got a lot of smiles and, you know, a few heads nodded in the affirmative. That's fine. Judges chapters 4 and 5. A wonderful portion of the Word of God. For the sake of time, we won't read all of it. But let's begin at verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Why would the Lord do a thing like that? Sell them. Deliver them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth of the nations. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. Sisera had all that equipment under his control. 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abimoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go, and draw toward Mount Tabor, take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots. 900 chariots, and a formidable host of warriors, his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kedesh. May the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of these few verses of His holy word. Women play a major role, not only in the home and in the school, but they play a major role in the church. Does that surprise anybody here? The women play a major role in the church. You know, God has blessed me. Pardon a personal reference. But he has blessed me in a very signal way with a number of wonderful woman folk. My own mother, who prayed much for me as an infant, she passed away when I was, I think, 5 years of age. She passed away. But a couple of years later on, my dad got married again. And I like that, you know. Marriage, I agree with Brother Rentz that it's a wonderful experience. And if you doubt what I'm telling you, you can check with my wife afterwards. I know she's here, sitting right in front, see? I was at a wedding reception some time ago, and a friend of mine giving a toast, he says, if marriage were real money, I'd be a millionaire. The guy sitting near to him, he says, and if marriage were real money, I'd be a pauper. Poor fellow was a bachelor. He didn't seem to make any progress in that direction. But I agree with the first fellow. Married with real money, I'd be a millionaire. Because it's a blessed estate. And I thank God for the woman in my life. My grandmother, my mom, then she passed away. Dad got married again. Married a godly woman, who also became, she was my stepmother. Godly woman. Her mom was yet alive. My dad's mom was yet alive. And these older folk, they had me on their hearts. For some reason, even though I may have been obstreperous on many occasions, they had me on their hearts and they prayed for me. And then I look in my own family circle among my brothers and sisters. I had 5 sisters. 4 of them are yet alive. And these 5 sisters, they all pray for me. I have a number of aunts and other relatives and some friends. I think of a friend, a dear lady, she's a widow, lives all the way up in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. Another dear lady who lives in North Florida. Women of God, with whom we have been acquainted for many years, they pray for me. They have a great ministry, a great supportive ministry, for which we thank the Lord. So, these dear ladies in the Boulevard Bible Chapel are important people. They're important people. Oh, may God bless the ladies of the church. And even though theirs may not be the role of public ministry, for the most part, many of them work behind the scenes, but we pray that God will strengthen them and God will encourage them. Bible scholars claim that all the books of the Bible were written by men, with the possible exception of Esther and Ruth. And those 2 books, Bible students and scholars, teachers of the word, they doubt that these ladies actually wrote what is recorded in the book of Ruth and in the book of Esther. So the ladies, for the most part, have a minor part, but an important part, a very necessary part to play. And we don't read of many prophetesses. Quite a few prophets in Scripture, from Genesis through to Revelation. Read of the prophets. But there are at least 6 ladies who are called prophetesses. There's one who called herself a prophetess. You know who that is? There's a woman who called herself a prophetess. Jezebel. If she was any kind of a prophetess, she was a false prophet. One of the most wicked creatures that ever walked the face of this earth. She was the wife of Ahab, a terrible king. But here's a woman in
Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. A great woman of God. The Bible tells us that she was a prophetess. Two women bore the name Deborah in Scripture. One was the nursemaid to Rebekah. We'll read that in Genesis chapter 24. And she was a wonderful person from the account we have in Scripture. Now the name Deborah means bee, B-E-E. It's symbolic of industry, patience, usefulness, untiring activity. Mary Hallett, in writing about the bee, she says, science confirms that of all creatures in the animal kingdom, the bee ranks among the highest in intelligence. So Deborah, meaning bee, Deborah stands out among the wisest of all the Old Testament women. She evidently gathered honey for her friends, but she had a fatal sting for her enemies. That's like many women. Pardon me, ladies, but they have not only sweetness but bitterness. You men have discovered that, maybe, you know. Honey for their friends, but a fatal sting for their enemies. The wise man in Proverbs chapter 14, he says, every wise woman buildeth her house, the foolish plucketh down with her hands. Deborah was the second of six women who are called prophetesses in the Bible. She was a woman of intuition, perception, a woman who was evidently in touch with God, a woman who heard from the Lord, and a woman who relayed the information she received from God to those who came to her for judgment. First of all, I'd like you to observe that we have here in chapter 4 and verse 1, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. When Ahu was dead. The state of the nation. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They sinned against God. They rebelled against God and the Word of God, the teachings of the Scriptures. Sin always carries a high price tag. Let's keep that in mind. Sin always carries a high price tag. Sooner or later, your sin finds you out. Paul told the Romans, the wages of sin is death. In Proverbs chapter 6, there's a question asked in verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Children of Israel, you're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. You're taking a hot fire in your bosom. You're going to get burned. Sin always has a terrible sting. It boomerangs. Here we read that the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Why did the Lord do that? It's because of their iniquity. The Lord has various ways of chastising his people, of punishing them for their sins. And if you're without chastisement, we read in Hebrews 12, then you're a bastard, not a son. But he has ways of chastising them. And sometimes the rod of correction that he uses is severe in the extreme. So he sold them into the hand of Jabin, wicked, cruel king of Canaan. And Jabin mightily oppressed them for 20 long years. Can you imagine what it would mean to be under the oppression of a wicked king for 20 long years? Here in this country, if you have a president that's not suited for the post, he can run according to the law. He can run two terms for the presidency. But that's it. You've got to come out of office. And some people are rejoicing right now that the one that we have in office will soon be out. Well, I am not among those who rejoice, or those who are sad
But we pray that the perfect will of God be done in connection with our country here. But you know, God has to punish the USA. You know that, brethren and sisters? God has to punish this nation. We don't know how he's going to punish this nation or when he will bring judgment upon this nation. But the Bible tells us that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we cannot claim to be the righteous nation that we started out over 200 years ago. We can't claim that status any longer. When you see the abominations that are being perpetrated in every corner of the land, the murders and the vileness, the iniquity, abominable sight of God. Now, Jabin, he oppressed the children of Israel. He threatened them with his 900 chariots of iron and his great military might. But in spite of Israel's impenitence and rebellion against God, doing evil in the sight of the Lord loved them just the same. There's a verse I want to read for you from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. Let's see if you would like to turn to it. Jeremiah, chapter 12. It says here in verse 7, I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. God is speaking about his own people. I have forsaken them. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. I love them just the same. But they got to be punished for their wickedness. So I've delivered them, where? Into the hand of their enemies. And that's what happened here in Judges chapter 4. The Lord delivered them, sold them into the hand of Jabin. So we see the state of the nation was horrible. And they were in a real predicament because of sin and evil, the state of the nation. But there was a cry for deliverance. The children of Israel, verse 3, said that the Bible says here that the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They were being mightily oppressed, and they cried unto the Lord. We have the state of the nation. We have the sigh for deliverance. It was a sensible reaction when they discovered that they were cornered. They were oppressed by Jabin. They were uncomfortable. They had done evil, and they realized that they were in bondage to this Jabin. They did a sensible thing. And I hope that if there are any in this meeting this morning who are oppressed by sin, plagued by problems that you cannot solve, held in captivity and bondage by evil habits, if there are any in here that find yourselves in that situation, I would say do what they did. They cried unto the Lord for deliverance. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in preaching to that multitude, he says, it shall come to pass. And it's coming to pass right now. We see it happening now. It shall come to pass that whosoever, that includes you, includes me, it shall come to pass. We read that in the book of the Acts, chapter 2 and verse 21. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Their burden will be lifted. Their bondage will cease. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall sigh and cry, call upon the Lord. He's near at hand, ready to hear your cry. Would to God we had more people calling upon the name of the Lord. People who realize that they are lost. People who realize they're in trouble. People who realize they're in bondage. They are being afflicted. You know, when the children of Israel, in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 32, were under the thumb of Pharaoh, hard, cruel taskmasters in bondage there in Egypt, the Lord says to Moses, their cry came up to me by reason of their bondage. And the Lord spoke to Moses about their groaning. We have people today who are still in bondage. We have folk today who are groaning under the oppression of the enemy. We have folk today who would love to be delivered. And if you are here facing a problem that you cannot solve, we are here to recommend the solution. Do what the children of Israel did in the day of Deborah. They cried unto the Lord, Lord, help us. If you were to draw near and hear some of their prayers and see their tears, hear their sighs, you would understand that they meant it from the bottom of their hearts, begging God to have mercy upon them. And He will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. He's waiting for that cry. So we see the state of the nation. We see the sigh for deliverance. We see the source of assistance. Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, judged Israel at that time. And what did she do? A woman who was in touch with the living God. In Deborah's day, there's a lot of idolatry. People were calling upon false gods, worshipping images, worshipping statues and images that have ears, but they couldn't hear, eyes, but they couldn't see. And idolatry was rampant in Deborah's day. It was rampant in Elijah's day. And when we see Elijah going up to Mount Carmel for the contest with the prophets of Baal, there were 450 prophets of Baal there, plus 400 who ate at Jezebel's table. And from early morning until late evening, time of the evening sacrifice, here they were calling on their God, but there was no response. Calling upon their own resources, but they had no help from the one on whom they called. Elijah mocked them. Elijah says, maybe your God is gone on a journey. He has forgotten about you. Maybe he has grown deaf. He doesn't hear what you have to say. And Elijah mocked them. Until the time of the evening sacrifice, they called upon a God who did not answer because he could not answer. And today, I am happy to tell you that there is the true and the living God, Elijah's God, Deborah's God, who is our God, and he is able to answer the cry of his children. I know I have been in tough situations during my lifetime. And I know that there have been occasions when, even in regard to physical illness, sickness, there's a time when one famous physician on the island of Jamaica, professor of medicine in the University of the West Indies, he says to my wife, we have done everything that's medically possible to do to help your husband. We have done our best. We are done now. He's in God's hands. When she heard that, she figured, well, I'm losing my husband. He's in God's hands. But you know, they cried unto the Lord, and he had mercy. And our God, he heard. And thank God, what he did for me, he can do for others. What he did for Deborah, when they cried unto the Lord, they did evil, but they cried unto the Lord. His ear is open to their cry. The only time when he doesn't answer his people, he says, his hand is not shortened that he cannot save. The Lord's hand is there ready to help. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. But listen, he says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. He will not hear you. There comes a time when God won't hear. If you're clutching your sin, holding on to your evil habits, going in the way of iniquity, Isaiah says he will not hear you. You have to forsake sin, forsake your evil way, forsake that wicked thought, and turn to the Lord. He is our only source of assistance. And thank God,
Deborah knew God.
She communicated with him, and I believe she communed with him. She received implicit instructions from him. He told her what to do. The Bible says she's a prophetess, and she looks down the corridors of time, and with crystal clarity she sees the whole scenario. She gets divine instructions from the Lord, and so she's able to call the commander of their forces. Call to Barak. Come, Barak, she says. She sent and called him and said to him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded? He told me. He has issued a command saying, go draw toward Mount Tabor. Take with thee 10,000 men. What are 10,000 against the multitude that Sisera had in his army? But God doesn't need a whole big crowd of people to do a job for him. He doesn't need but a small company, small band. In Gideon's day, only 300 were selected against the vast host of the Midianites. They had maybe 300,000 people. Deborah was instructed, 10,000 men, chosen men, children of Naphtali, children of Zebulun, get them and draw toward Mount Tabor. Take these men along with you. And I will bring to you, draw to you the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his multitude. I'll deliver him into your hand. Deborah gets this instruction from heaven. And we have a source of assistance. We have heavenly power. We have divine instructions concerning the work of God and the deliverance that God is able to give. So, Deborah saw the state of the nation. She did something about it. She heard the cry for deliverance. She knew the source of assistance. And there's only one source of assistance that we recommend for you. Some people, when they have problems and troubles, you know, the lawyers advise them, go to the Social Security office. Go to that corporation, the employment services, they'll get a job for you. They'll fit you in somewhere. Go to the governor of the state. Go to your local political leader, your senator, some representative, some political figure. They'll be able to help you. You know what we advise you to do? We're not pointing you to a priest or a bishop or a denomination. But our advice is, go to the Lord God of Israel. Look to the Lamb of God, the Holy Son of God, who died and shed his precious blood that you might be saved. Because if you want deliverance, if you want assistance in life, if you want freedom from bondage, if you want cleansing, if you want holiness in your life, then there's only one source of assistance that we know of that is reliable, that is infallible, and it's through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. He gives us the victory. Thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is available. Deborah knew the source of assistance. She communicated with the Lord, got implicit instructions from him, and relayed this. Now, they set up a strategy for the battle. The strategy for the battle. I remember many years ago, I heard a dear preacher proclaiming, ministering the word of God, and he used a sentence that I thought was
interesting.
Let me write it down. Took my pen and I wrote down what I... These are the words I heard. If you fail to plan, you really plan to fail.
Whether you realize it or not.
Fail to plan means you plan to fail. Now we want you right in the quietness of this morning hour to draw up a strategy, a plan, to do something about your present condition, because very few people are really satisfied to have things as they are. Do you want to improve? Do you want to see growth? Do you want the blessing of God upon your life? Well, here is the plan that Deborah initiated. It was given to her from the Lord. Another statement that was a help to me. Plan your work. And then work your plan. Do you have a plan? Maybe you plan at some future date, somewhere down the line, maybe when you get a little bit older, when you are ready to retire, you plan to do a number of things. Anything you plan for, remember, time is short. You don't know how much time you have left. You have this present breath. Isaiah speaks of man whose breath is in his nostrils. We don't know how much time we have left. So if you plan to move toward God, if you plan to get right with God, if you plan to have your accounts settled with Him, if you plan to become a Christian and to love and honor and serve the Lord, then now is the time. You know what the scripture says? Boast not yourself of tomorrow. You know not what a day may bring forth. This is the time to make your plan, to make your decision. Not only plan your work, but you work your plan. Do something positive about it. I was at a meeting not very long ago, after the gospel was proclaimed, and it was in one of our assemblies, visiting another group. But the preacher gave an invitation at the end of a simple message, and a lot of people came forward. I looked at them coming forward, and you know what the congregation did? They started clapping. They started to clap. In other words, they were saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, some people are getting saved. And whether that was the correct biblical response to a person planning to trust Christ as Savior or not, I'm glad that there was some response. And there will be joy in the presence of the angels of God over even one sinner that repents. Deborah not only got the instructions from God what to do, but she did it. She approaches Barak. Come, let's talk about this thing. God has told me, God has shown me. I'm in touch with Him, and He has given me these instructions. Get your 10,000 men and go there to the scene of battle. And this book here gives us all the information we need. I thank God for this book. Don't you appreciate it? I notice when I say, let's turn to Judges chapter 4, most of you turn your Bible leaves over to Judges chapter 4. Wonderful book. In this book, we have God's plan of redemption. And Deborah understood it. The information the Lord shared with her, she followed it diligently. She obeyed implicitly. And we do the very same by the grace of God. Deborah told Barak, do exactly what I tell you now. We add nothing to it. We subtract nothing from it. We change nothing in it. These are the instructions. And we would say the instructions for you are given here in God's word. There's an enemy. Powerful. Deadly. Diabolical enemy. that we have to face day by day. Maybe before the day's done, he will attack you and tempt you in one way or another. But I would say put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand. So we see the state of the nation. We see the sigh for deliverance. We see the source of assistance. We see the strategy for battle. That man has 900 chariots of iron, maybe 100,000 bold, fearless warriors. But particularly in chapter 5, sorry, we don't have the time to read it here. But in chapter 5, we have the song of victory. The song of victory. Even the heavens came to their assistance. Zebulun and Naphtali, their soldiers were people who jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings fought, and the kings of Canaan in Tabor. And they fought from heaven. We had assistance from heaven in verse 20. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away. That ancient river, the river Kishon. Oh, my soul was trodden down strength. A mighty victory. A song of praise was raised for the glory of God. And if you plan your strategy, if you hear the word of God, if you make your decision to become a soldier of the cross, and if you desire to trust Jesus as your Savior today, there'll be joy in the presence of the angels of God over even one sinner that repents. I see my time is up, but Deborah and Barak, I would have loved to hear these two singing. A beautiful duet, don't you think so? No doubt a harmonious duet. And let me say to those of you who may not be able to carry a tune very well, don't know too much about music. Some of us have very little experience in that area. But the Bible says we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you know, singing is mentioned, I think, 74 times in the Psalms. Psalmist speaks of singing. And some of the songs we sing are beautiful indeed. Deborah's song was a beautiful song. Did you promise that you're going to read it today? Yes, you made that promise. Judges chapters 4 and chapter 5. And you see what the words of the song they sang. It gave glory to God. The song that Brother Mulling sang this morning. To God be the glory. And none of us are here to glorify ourselves, to congratulate ourselves, to speak of our achievements. But God gets the glory. He's the one that did the work. He's the one that provided salvation. Jesus is the one who shed his blood. He invites you to come and receive his great salvation. And if you receive him, you have victory in Jesus. You'll be able to sing the song of praise to the glory of his great name. Praise ye the Lord. It is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is fitting. Even in the night time, we can praise the Lord. Barak, you're a great general. You're a mighty warrior. No, the praise doesn't go to Barak. Sisera is dead. There's a nail through his temple. Pinned him right to the ground by jail. A woman. A mighty victory for Israel that day. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. No boasting on the part of Deborah. No boasting on the part of Barak. They gave praise and honor to the Lord. May we be able to do the same when we see what God is doing. Shall we bow in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this great woman of whom we have been reading. We thank you for what was accomplished during her reign there in Israel. And we pray, Lord, that we may have learned something from these two chapters in the book of Judges, something that will inspire us to love Thee, to honor Thee, to communicate with Thee, because we believe that Thou art the same yesterday and today and forever. You change never. Help us, Lord, to keep in touch with You, to follow Your plan, and to do what You would have us to do. If there are any in our meeting with problems, in bondage to sin and to Satan, grant, Lord, that even today they may experience victory in Your precious name. Accept all thanks. Bless us as we separate. Give help in all the activities of this day. Remember those who would like to be here and not able to come. Pray especially for our brother Elliot Van Ryn on a bed of affliction. In Thy mercy, remember him. And if it can please You, grant healing, we pray. We ask it in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Those of you who can return tonight, we have something else to share with you from the Word, which we trust will be of interest, benefit, and blessing. The Lord give you a very good day.